Last week on the Let the Bible Speak program, I spoke about how that Jesus is the way to God. And I want to encourage you to follow him and get on that way to God. We're glad that you've joined us this morning, and I hope that our study will be beneficial. Remember that you can contact us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We would love to hear from you. Of course, we meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. We would love to have you come worship with us. Sundays at 9:30 and 10:30 a.m., 6 p.m., and Wednesday at 7 p.m. We're currently studying in our adult and young adult classes the book of Acts, and you would enjoy that study and, I believe, benefit from it. We'd be glad to have you come. If you would come be with us, we'd be glad to have you. Call us at 931-647-1324. If we can help you with a Bible study or other spiritual needs, 931-647-1324. Or visit us online at wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. Jesus is the way. Of course, he said that to Thomas. Jesus had been talking about returning to his Father. He would ascend back to his Father after his resurrection. And he would be going to prepare a place in heaven for his followers. And Jesus said, "And whether I go, you know the way." Thomas therefore said, "Lord, we know not whether you go. How do we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." So we need to come to the Father. We need to obey him and be in a right relationship with him. And that is done only by Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And notice those three things: the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth is right in between the way and the life. The truth is what puts us on the way and keeps us on the way. And it's the truth that gives us the spiritual life in Christ. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is used a lot in the book of John, the Gospel of John. Truth has kind of fallen on hard times today. A lot of times you'll hear people talk about, "Your truth is different from my truth." We live in a very postmodernistic, pluralistic world where everything, even opposites, are true. And we need to understand that truth is found in God's Word. When we're talking about matters relating to our relationship with God, spiritual matters, God's Word is truth, John 17:17. Jesus is the Word of God. He is truth. And that's what puts us on the way to God, and that's what gives us spiritual and eternal life. And so the way is found through the New Testament teaching of Jesus' words. And friend, can we help you get on that way this morning? There's a lot of people, they're not on that way. They're traveling all kinds of paths in life, secular paths, paths of human wisdom, paths of culture, what their friends and neighbors and family say, their own personal beliefs. Our society is messed up because of all different kinds of human wisdom, all different kinds of paths, contradictory in teaching and in practice and in belief. We've got to get back to the singular way to God. It's not Buddhism, it's not Hinduism, it's not Islam, it's not Shinto or Taoism or Confucianism. It's not in all of the religions of the world. It's by being a Christian through Jesus Christ. And I realize that that's not a popular message with some, but it's the truth of God's word. We don't follow the Quran. We don't follow the Hindu Vedas. We don't follow the Book of Mormon. We don't follow any other man-made book. We follow the Bible. And in particular, the new covenant that Jesus put in place by shedding his blood on the cross, the New Testament. Jesus is the way, and that's found through the truth. And he's the life, and that's found through the truth. Friend, let me encourage you to get on that way. And if it's a matter of sitting down and studying more, let's do that. One lesson may not do it for you. You might need to study more, and I would love to sit down and study with you. Please contact us so that we can learn how to be on that way each and every day. Last week on the program, I talked about Jesus the way, and I talked about three things. Jesus is the way to a better life. Jesus is the way to forgiveness of sins. And Jesus is the way to God. This morning, I want to conclude this idea by looking at three more things concerning Jesus the way. Number one, he is the way out of religious confusion. Number two, he is the way to eternal life. And number three, how we can find Jesus the way. If you missed our program last week, our past programs of the Let the Bible Speak program are put on our website, wbcoc.org. Just go to our website and look at the Let the Bible Speak program, and you'll see past recordings there. wbcoc.org. Friends, Jesus is the way out of religious confusion. There's thousands of religious denominations and world religions today, all teaching and practicing contradictory things. It's confusion, it's division, and Jesus is the way out of all of that. You might be listening to me this morning, a member of a particular denomination, a Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, Muslim, an American denomination, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, Lutheran. Is that what we read in the New Testament? Do we read about those religions in the New Testament? Jesus prayed for unity. One way out of religious confusion that Jesus provides is to be thinking about unity rather than just unity and diversity, but actual unity where we're in agreement based upon Jesus' words, and Jesus prayed for that. Jesus prayed in John 17:21 that we would all be one through the words of the apostles. We can be one by reading our New Testament. Paul prayed that we would be one and that there would be no divisions. He did that for the church at Corinth and would expect the same for us today, to be of the same mind and same judgment. That there be no divisions among you, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 1:10-13, and again in chapter 3:3-4. Division is a work of the flesh. Galatians 5:19-21. Faction and division, separation. And we can be unified. We can be unified on the seven ones that are laid down by Paul in Ephesians 4:4-6. One of those being the one body. The one body, the one church that we read about in the New Testament. Not all of the man-made denominations or religions that came hundreds of years after the New Testament church. Jesus prayed for unity, and not only that, religious unity, but he set the right example for us by just simply following the law of God. This is something that I think a lot of people don't realize or think about. In Jesus' day, he could have been a member of a Jewish religious sect, but he chose not to be that. He could have been a Pharisee or a Sadducee or an Essene or a Herodian, which was more of a political group. But he chose simply to follow the law under which he lived. He was born under the law of Moses. He lived under the law of Moses. And he simply followed the law of Moses without being a member of a religious party. Can we simply follow the law of Christ and be a New Testament Christian without being a member of a religious party or sect? Yes. And we need to think about that. He was an Israelite. He was a Jew, born under the law, but he didn't join some particular religious sect. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass away from the law, till all things be accomplished. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Just simply doing the law, not adding to or taking from. And he came to fulfill the law, just to live under it and complete it and fulfill it. All those prophecies and things that spoke of him. And then he says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." You're going to have to do better than these people who are in religious sects. He calls them back to simply following the law. And we can do that today. Under the law of Christ, we can simply follow the law of Christ without adding to it or taking from it and being a simple New Testament Christian. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, Acts 11:26. It's the name Christian that we glorify God, 1 Peter 4:16. So, he sets the example by simply following God's law only. And that's what we call upon each and every one of us to do today. And he's the way out of religious confusion by building the one true church that we read about in the New Testament. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, when some 3,000 were baptized into Christ, the Lord added them to the church. There's one body of saved Christians in the New Testament. They were found in various locations around the world, but one body of Christians. My church, singular, not my churches. And Jesus, through his apostles, taught the one doctrine for his church. Those on the day of Pentecost that were baptized into Christ, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:42. That apostles' teaching was what kept everyone unified. They all heard and learned the same thing. From the day of Pentecost all the way through the end of the New Testament to the book of Revelation, the apostles all taught the same thing. And it was a unified revelation. So there's one body in that Ephesians 4:4-6, and there's one faith, one revelation and teaching. And this brings unity. Jesus is the way out of religious confusion. And friends, you and I need to be on that way. It's the simple way of New Testament Christianity. New Testament Christians were not members of denominations. Some of those were formed hundreds of years after the New Testament church. The Catholic Church had its first official pope in 606 A.D., Boniface III, some 500 years after the New Testament church. Then you go about another thousand years or so, up to the 1500s, and you have what's called the Reformation, and we get Methodists and Lutherans and the Church of England and Presbyterians. That's a long time, some 1400 years after the time of the New Testament church. And then you add on a couple more hundred years in the 1700s and the 1800s, you begin to see churches even cropping up on American soil. The Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, Christian Science, and others. In the 1900s, the Pentecostal and the Charismatic movement, Assemblies of God and Churches of God and Pentecostal churches around 1900. Friends, don't just pick a church. Follow the way out of all of that. Jesus is the way out of all of that confusion. Don't just pick one that's nearby your house. Don't just pick one that your family grew up in. Don't just pick one that has social and recreational and services that are provided for this and that. Don't shop for a church like shopping for clothes. Be a member of the New Testament church. And Jesus is the way out of religious confusion. Number two, Jesus is also the way to eternal life. How that we can live eternally with Him in heaven. Jesus said that He had gone to prepare a place for us and for His disciples. John 4, 14, verse 2. He's preparing heaven for us. It'll be a beautiful place. We can read a part of that description in Revelation 21 and 22. And He's going to come back and receive us to Himself. And if we are faithful Christians, even if we die, we will be raised to meet Him in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's going to judge us. He's going to be the great judge, and all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, and He will judge us. And we need to be obedient to Him now so that we can be ready to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Jesus said at the end of Matthew 25, that account of judgment, in verse 31, "The Son of Man shall come in His glory and with His angels, and He shall sit on His throne of glory, and before Him shall be gathered all the nations. And He shall separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" That's what we want to hear. We want to hear, "Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." And at the end, verse 46, "These shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." We want to be righteous. Right by God's New Testament standard of righteousness. So He's going to judge us. What side will you be on, the right or the left? Eternal punishment or eternal life? And Jesus is the way to eternal life by making eternal life wonderful. We can read in Revelation 21 and 22 a portion of that picture of heaven that lies ahead of us if we'll be faithful. I don't have time to read all of it this morning on the program. I'll just mention a few verses. Revelation 20, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things which are written in the books according to their works." We just We just talked about that, standing before Christ in judgment. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. This is hell fire. And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning nor crying nor pain any more. The first things are passed away. And he that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he saith, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, They are come to pass. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcomes shall inherit these things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then after a further description of heaven and that place where people will be, we come to chapter 22 and verse 1. And he showed me a river, the water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street thereof. And on this side of the river and on that was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no curse any more, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no light of lamp, neither light of sun, for the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Beautiful place of heaven. And we want to go there. And Jesus makes that possible. And then last of all, he teaches us about that eternal life to come and how that we need to prepare for that. We can be in eternal life or we can be in eternal punishment and damnation. And his word is all about teaching us how to go there and be there, how to be obedient to his word. And we have to do more than just say, Lord, Lord. We have to do the will of the Father that is laid down and recorded in the New Testament. And so in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew 7, after talking about the wide or broad way that leads to destruction and the narrow way that leads to eternal life, and we're talking about the way this morning, Jesus is the way, and he's that straight and narrow way that leads unto life. Right after saying that, he said, Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's not just being religious that gets us into heaven or saying, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Are you doing that today, friends? If not, can we help you to do that? And so Jesus is the way to eternal life. And then last of all, I want to talk a little bit this morning about finding Jesus the way. How can we find Jesus the way? Well, we can't do that by just simply going to man's teaching. Even in the first century, there were those who tried to lead people astray, even regarding Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about those in verse 4, if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit, which we did not receive, or a different gospel, which you did not accept, you do well to bear with him. Some were teaching another Jesus, and some were preaching another gospel. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. And so it's not just a matter of asking someone or man's teaching, myself included. Many are presenting false Jesus today. But we go to Scripture. You can find Jesus in the Old Testament. There were over 300 prophecies pointing forward to Jesus Christ. That's why after Jesus' resurrection in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, verse 44 through 47, he opened the minds of his disciples and he taught them the law of Moses, what was in the law and the prophets and the Psalms. And he interpreted those things concerning him. There's many types and antitypes in the Old Testament, many prophecies in the Old Testament pointing forward to Jesus. So we can find Jesus in the Old Testament. We can find Jesus in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us about Jesus the King, Jesus the Servant, Jesus the Savior, and Jesus the Divine. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We can find about his life and his teaching and his example and his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension back into heaven. We can read all of that in the Gospels. We can find Jesus by turning to the book of Acts and the epistles, running all the way through the book of Revelation, because what you're reading there is the continued work of Jesus. He ascended back into heaven, but he sent his apostles into all the world to preach the gospel, Matthew 28, 20, 19 and 20, and Mark 16, 15 and 16. And so Acts, all the way through the book of Revelation, are the apostles of Jesus teaching and preaching his word and writing that word. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 14:37, what I write are the commandments of the Lord. You continue to find Jesus in the book of Acts all the way through the book of Revelation. And finally, you find Jesus in your own personal obedience. It's not just a matter of reading some information. We have to apply that in our life. And so Jesus said on one occasion in John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews that had believed him, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So not only did they believe him, but he said, you need to abide in my word and start following it and keeping it. And so obedience is the ultimate way in which we know Jesus and find Jesus. Will you do that today? Jesus said in John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them is he that loves me. Will you do that today? Get on the way to God through Jesus Christ. And if we can help you, friend, please contact us so that we can do that. We hope that you'll have a good day.